Hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing. Hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You reign forever. Reign for,
reign forever.
Oh my soul,
reign
for,
oh my soul, will sing.
Hallelujah.
This is my part right here.
You brought me over.
Yeah.
Oh my soul, will sing.
Brought me over. One more time.
You brought me
over.
Oh my.
Oh my soul will sing.
You brought me
over.
Oh my.
Oh my soul will sing.
You brought me
over.
Oh my soul.
Oh my soul will sing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Come on, lift that up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll sing to you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because you're holy, I'll sing.
Hey.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, great day. Great day, well, great morning, great evening, depending on your time zone. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for joining in live, and appreciate also those who get to listen in later. It's just always wonderful to know that there's someone out there who is getting blessed by the morning faith boost. All right, so appreciate it so much. Now, yesterday we talked quite some about the goodness of God, because we have to understand this. Okay, so this week our series is how to receive from God, and we said one thing that hinders receiving from God is ignorance. Another thing that hinders receiving from God is we're not sure if God is willing to bless us. Okay, so we've got to deal with these things because it affects receiving, right? It affects receiving. So the idea is, how do I receive, okay? How do I receive? And yes, we could travel straight through the end and say, well, it takes faith to receive. We receive by faith, which is true. So we'll get to that most likely tomorrow. So what are the things that hinder the receiving? What are the things that stop them? I'm not trying to go through the exhaustive list. I guess it's inexhaustive. I guess we might not be able to touch all that in a week. I might not even know all the things that might hinder it per se. But they are just the things I feel we need to deal with, all right? So once again, we said, right, in our first episode yesterday on how to receive from God, ignorance, all right? My people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. My people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. Secondly, you know, there's this subtle prayer, all right? God, if it is your will. You do not pray if it is your will when the will of God is known. So you don't ask, Lord, if it's your will for me to be healed, all right, by his stripes you were already healed. So the will of God is healing for you, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed when he was on the earth, then he's still interested in the healing business right now, okay? So it's God's will. Healing is God's will. So you don't say, okay, if it is your will, prosper me. If it is your will, give me long life. If it is your will, you know, certain things are clear, you know, in God's will. Certain things are obvious. So you don't say if it is your will. Are you getting that? Another thing is, you know, while we're sure about the fact that God can, most of us don't have a problem with, you know, can God? All right. We know he can. All right. But the question now is, will he do it for me now? You know, and then that's what begin to not get sure. Will God do it? Will he solve it? Will he make it happen? Will he, you know, we're not sure. But on most of the things we're trying to receive, please note again, I'm saying receive. On most of the things we're trying to receive from God, most of these things are things that have already been done. So we really can't discuss whether he can, all right? If he's already done it, ability is no longer a question. He was able and he's able, done. Willingness is not a question. Do you understand? Using healing again as an example, you don't say, oh, can God heal me? Before you were ever born, healing was already provided. So it's not a question of ability. Will God heal me? All right? Where healing is concerned, again, it's not. Please understand this. If you're not feeling well today, and then you get healed today, or you receive healing on that matter case today, God did not just heal you today. All you did was receive the healing that's already made available. I gave an illustration and said, okay, so I make breakfast available at 7:30 in the morning. And then I walk up to everyone and say, guys, breakfast is served. All right. So help yourself. It's at the dining table. And then some get up there, you know, at maybe 7:45. Some get there 8 a.m. Some get there 8:30. But you get there like 9:45. All right. You know, and then so you get there and say, oh, food has just been made available. The answer is no, you just received it. It was made available, all right, 7:30 a.m. You got there 9:45. All right, so you getting born again, for instance, you know, maybe someone got born again January 5th, 2020. And you say, oh, God saved me. Yes, depending on the context, your salvation was provided for you about 2,000 years ago. You received the salvation January 2020. Do you get that now? So all because we're receiving something from God now doesn't mean God is just making it available. So when you say, can he? Yes, he can. Will he? Yes, he will. So can he? Yes, he can. He could. He's proved it. Will he? Yes, he will. And he has. So because he already has, you don't say, oh God, will you heal me now? Oh God, will you bless me now? No, God has made it available. What you do is receive. What you do is receive. So that's what we're talking about, how to receive, not how to pray. Okay? We might still run a series and a teaching on prayer. All right? But how to receive. Now, through prayer, you receive. Okay? But through faith and confession also, you receive. All right? Ken Hagin taught many years ago, and he said that faith works by saying and also by praying. Did you get that? Faith works by saying and also by praying. Okay, so in Mark 11:23, you find Jesus speaking to the mountain. He didn't speak to God. He spoke to the mountain and said, whosoever would also speak, he spoke to the fig tree rather. And then he said to us, whoever will say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. So he didn't say to God. That means your faith works, you know, by you saying to the mountain. You are not saying to God. But in Mark 11:24, just the next verse, he says, well, things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. So I could say to God, or I just say to the situation, all right, so you have a pain in your body, your health is challenged. You could just speak straight to the situation. Why? Healing has already been provided for you. Healing has already, it's your own. Take advantage of it. It's your own. Take advantage of it. All right? It's your own. You take advantage of it. All right? You could take advantage every day of wisdom. I thank you, Father, because Christ has been made unto me wisdom. So in the name of Jesus, I receive direction. Take our time praying in tongues. Sharpen yourself. Spend time worshiping. But you're declaring, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm saying you could do that. All right. Yet again, yeah, you could say, oh, Father, give me direction. I need direction. I need direction. But I'm saying, you know, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. A man of understanding will draw it out. So it means it's within you. All right. It's already inside your spirit. So what you need to do is fan it up. Bring it up. All right. Proverbs 20, same to Proverbs 20, verse 27. Says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the answers are within you. All you need to do is just stir it up. All right. So just needing a bit of time to lay again the point we looked at yesterday. So please go over yesterday's episode and listen very well, picking out the point. One last thing we mentioned is you know, you could feel so unqualified. All right. You could feel I know God is good. I know God has done these things for me, but I've not lived right all the while. I've not been good. Will God heal me with how I've lived? Will God, you know, Colossians 1:12 that we, you know, made reference to yesterday says, giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us. If you're using the King James, it says he has made us meet. Giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. In light, God has qualified us. God has made it available. All right, so don't disqualify yourself. Remember the story we call, you know, the story about the two sons, right? What we call the prodigal son. All right, so the young boy felt so disqualified. All right, he said to himself, I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. So he had disqualified himself. But you know the story. The father saw him coming from afar, ran towards him, kissed him, and told the servants, quickly go, change his robe, give him ring, do something for him, all right? And let's throw a wild party. And they kill the fatted calf. So you have to understand that while you might feel you've done something wrong, and then you're disqualifying yourself, God has not altered your status before him, all right? Please note, now, this is not now encouraging, do whatever you feel like. Act however you want. No, you know that's not the point, all right? Our love for him would not want us to consistently do wrong, all right? Your love for him will mature you. But the point is, all right, you are the one now allowing the wrong move you made or the wrong thing you did to get between you and him, all right? So God is not disqualifying you. God does not revoke your sonship status all because you did something wrong. You are just what you did wrong. You were a son before you did it. You were a son when you did it. You were a son after you did it. Yes, something's wrong. So it sets in condemnation. It makes you feel bad. It doesn't take 10 minutes to get off, you know, Father, I made a wrong move. I'm sorry about it. You know, and get it off. You say, oh, so easily. Yes, we are the ones who complicate it. All right. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if you confess your sins unto him, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Which means if he doesn't forgive or cleanse, then he is unfaithful. So God does his part easily. And guess what? All right, Ephesians and Colossians already tell us that in him, all right, like Ephesians 1, 7, says in him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. Have. You have redemption. You have the forgiveness of sin. That means forgiveness of sin now is a gift to you. Okay, that means God will forgive you. Why? Because God has forgiving you. He forgave you before you were born again. So what you did last week or yesterday would now not counter what he did. Please get what I'm saying. Let me slow down and say. So Jesus died like 2,000 years ago, right? Okay, we'll keep saying like 2,000 years ago. So let's just keep saying. So Jesus died like 2,000 years ago, all right? Then you got born again. Let's say you got born again when? 1982, or you got born again 1995, or you got born again 1999 or 2006, all right? So at the point where you got born again, you confessed him as Lord. It was the blood he shed, all right, on the cross about 2,000 years ago that still wiped you clean. If you get, you know me trying to say it in a way, you would get it easily. It was the blood he shed 2,000 years ago that still wiped you clean, you know, that 1995 or 1999 or 2000 and whatever it was. It was that blood. Now, would that blood be powerful on that day alone? And then, so you did something wrong yesterday, and then a new blood has to be shed? No, the same blood that was shed 2,000 years ago wiped you clean. Actually, all your sins were dealt with that 2,000 years ago. You, when you got born again, now received the forgiveness of sin, which is useful for whatever else you do that might be wrong. You have the. So Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You have it. Not we had. We have. Right? So, Father, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Wow. Wrong. I mean, you have the. So thank you, Father, because I have the forgiveness of sins. If not, you're going to be begging him for 4, 5 days, 10. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. And I know that feeling. I mean, I've been there. But you go back to scripture and say, he says, I have it. He's already done it. So I receive. Thank you, Lord. I receive this forgiveness that is mine because it's mine. It's available. These things hinder prayer. All right. Condemnation hinders prayer. So let's see what John says. All right. Because it's important we look at, you know, how the mind functions, right? What are the things going on in the mind? What's happening to us inside our minds, all right? So John, in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and the 19th verse, 1 John 3:19 says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Hereby we know we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Okay? We know we're of the truth. And then we assure, I'll read and I'll come back here so you get this. Verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and God knows all things. Are you getting this now? God is not condemning you. It's your heart. All right? You feel bad about what you did. You feel wrong about what you did. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. God knows all things. 21 says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And what you need in a place of prayer is confidence, not condemnation. Condemnation is one of those things that hinder receiving from God. Because if we just jump into, oh, let's receive from God. No, some believers are going through condemnation. Oh, maybe I can't get healed. Yeah, I know healing has been available. But maybe just for some of us, God really won't want to heal us because we're the ones that, you know, we were the ones that created the matter. You know, I got into something that brought a sickness upon me. And that alone hinders you from receiving. But would you ever think through quickly and ask yourself, so in how many cases where Jesus needed to heal the sick, all right, when he was on earth, how many cases did he need to heal the sick that he had to do an interview first? All right, so hey, you, yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so how did you get sick? What did you do? That's your own doing. Okay, so stay sick for another like 5 weeks, then see me again so that you really, really feel bad. I know you really, really feel bad. Then I'm going to heal you. All right, so how many interviews, all right, for those who wanted to be healed that did Jesus do? You know, even in John chapter 9, where they asked him about the man that was born blind. And they said, Master, who sinned, right, that this man was born blind? Was it him? Was it his parents? I mean, the question is funny. So did he sin in his mother's womb? I mean, how would you ask if he sinned? All right, so did he sin? Did his parents sin? Okay, why is he born blind? Jesus said, that doesn't matter. The most important thing here is that God is going to be glorified. Isn't that exciting? Jesus said, that doesn't matter. All right? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. All right, even in the case where Jesus told the other man, you know, go sin no more, all right, so that the worst thing doesn't come upon you, Jesus is not discussing his sin with him before Jesus healed him. Did you get that? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus healed him, walked away. The Pharisees met him, started asking him, who healed you? How'd you get healed? Why are you carrying your stuff on the Sabbath day? You're not supposed to, because Jesus had met him and said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. All right? That'll be the case in John chapter 5 now. So Jesus met him, healed him. Then Jesus saw him later and now said, hey, sin no more. But Jesus said that later, not before. Listen, healing under the old covenant was based on condition. If you will serve the Lord your God, he will bless your bread, bless your water. He will take sickness away from the midst of you. It was based on condition. Healing, all right, when Jesus showed up, which was, you know, pre, you know, our covenant now, but he needed to express that when he was on the earth, wasn't about the law or the conditions anymore. It was now based on how Isaiah described it in 53. He himself was wounded for our transgression. He himself was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him with his own stripes. So he became the condition and the fulfillment of the condition. Did you get that now? So while under the law will say, hey, if you do this, then you get healed. Jesus said, no problem. I will do everything for them. I will provide their healing. So the reason you get healed now is Jesus has provided it. The reason you get blessed now is blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus became a curse for us, all right? By then, he, you know, so that everybody is blessed. So he fulfilled the condition for your blessing. He fulfilled the condition for your health and healing. He fulfilled the condition for your total life prosperity. Should you therefore keep doing wrong? Paul answered it already when he asked, shall we continue to sin? That grace may abound. Have we continued saying that grace may abound? No, no, God forbid. So that's not the point, but we're dealing with child of God. Remove the hindrances. Remove the things that stop you. You know, you have a pain. You know, maybe God wants you to go through this sickness a little bit. God does not want you to go through anything a little bit. Why should you suffer for the same thing Jesus suffered for? He went through the pain. He went through the hurt. He was slapped. He was battered, bruised. They put a crown of thorns on his head. I mean, nails in his hands and feet. And then you suffer for healing again? No. No. So condemnation must be dealt with. If our hearts condemn us, all right, God is greater than our hearts. So that 19th verse now says, and hereby, all right, that 1 John 3:19, all right, hereby we know that we are of the truth and assure our hearts before him. So when you feel that condemnation coming up in your heart, all right? Oh, I've done something wrong. I've done something wrong. Verse 19 says, know that you are of the truth and assure your heart, all right? Being of the truth means you are of God, all right? You're of the word, all right? You belong to God. So assure your heart. Yeah, what I did was wrong, all right? What I did was wrong. And I've mentioned it to my father. So I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not being callous or just walking out any response and say, I'm okay, there's nothing wrong, I didn't do anything. No, I know that was wrong, all right? And my father has forgiven me. So heart. You know, and like I've said a few times, David learned to speak to himself, all right? David would say, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God, all right? Maybe my heart is overwhelmed. You know, God, lead me. So God, David is saying, I'm not allowing my heart to determine how I'm going to react, all right? So you need to do that also. All right, Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's someone talking to his own soul. So you can't sit down like this. So we're going to bless God. We're going to bless God. So the same way heart, heart, there's no need to be condemned. There's no need to feel condemned, all right? The Lord has forgiven me on this matter, all right? So let's move on and receive what belongs to us, because the devil will take advantage of that condemnation. I believe this is helpful, all right? So the same thing ties to Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen, God loves you so much, all right? And when he gave us Jesus, he gave us everything available. Did you get that now? All right, when he gave us Jesus, he gave us every single thing available. So in the next few minutes, we'll touch something quite important. I know we've taken quite some good time to establish again a number of what was dealt with yesterday, because I believe in my heart these things are important. I believe God will have us stress that a little more. Okay? I have a couple of scriptures we should read today. We'll pick some and then we'll continue tomorrow. All right? You know, so you've got to get this. All right? You've got to get this. Deal with condemnation. Deal with condemnation. The enemy will come to accuse you. You answer the enemy with the word of God. All right? You answer. Because listen, your sin is family business, not the devil's business. All right? It's you, something you did. And then, I mean, you already have an advocate with it. You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. All right? I'm writing to you so that you don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous. All right? So your sin is family business. If you do something wrong, all right, Jesus is there as your lawyer. God is there. All right, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ. I mean, Romans 8 says so. All right, that died and is resurrected and is now at the right hand of God interceding for you. So you're covered. All right, you're covered. When you do wrong, listen, there's no wrong you want to do now that would be as big as a wrong Adam did. All right, and the wrong Adam did has already been rewritten by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So all other wrongs are sorted under that. Are you getting that now? All of that wrongs. So assure your heart. Don't allow your heart to condemn you. Are we clear on that? Now, so move to the thoughts we had for today. And then we'll build it up into tomorrow. That's fantastic. Now, so I want to receive from God. Okay, I want to receive from God. I want to receive. But question is, what is the size of your container? What's the size of your container? All right. So because many of us have this... oh, well, I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive. Wow. I'm going to receive with, you know, I'm going to receive a truckload of blessings from God. But somehow, really, the size of the container you took, there was a cup. All right. So you're saying you're going to receive a truckload and then you went with a cup. Someone says, how? Good. Your mind. Your mind is that container. Is that receiving vessel? Your mind. All right. Is a receiving vessel. So in Genesis chapter 13, something interesting happened in Genesis 13. So Genesis chapter 13, there was an issue with Abraham's men, all right, and Lot's men also. And then Abraham told Lot, wherever you pick, you know, you go this way, I go that way, I go this way, you know, you go that way, and all of that. So choose whatever, you know, is in front of you, and then, you know, be fine. So the 14th verse now, please get this, the 14th verse of this Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, that was, you know, after Lot had separated from him. Or I'm reading the 14th verse of Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up now your eyes. Look from where you are. All right. Look northward, southward, eastward, westward. 15 says, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it and to your seed forever. So God says, lift up your eyes from where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all that you see, all right, as far as you see, I will give it to you. So question is, when you pray, do you really see what you say you see? All right? Do you really see what you say you want? Do you really see what you say you desire? Because our mouths could be mouthing off a prayer point, and then our hearts are not really seeing it. Okay? So like I said, we'll deal with this better tomorrow. But you might be wondering, no, I know what I'm praying. I know, you know, no, because if you go to James, and then we end on James, it's this thought is quite interesting. So in James chapter 1, James is saying from verse 5 of James chapter 1, verse 5, that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God, who gives to, you know, all men liberally and upbraid not. All right, did you get that? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask from God that gives to all men liberally and upbraid not. Okay, so verse 6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea being driven and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. So we're learning how to receive from God. James says, verse 8, for a double-minded man is unstable. So all because you were not asking in faith, you were not certain, you were not sure, you became double-minded, you were wavering. James says in verse 7, let not that person think he'll receive anything from God. We're going to pause right there and pick it straight from this thought exactly tomorrow. I believe that you are being blessed. Feel free to share this with friends. Follow me kindly also on social media platforms, Lanray Rex, and also on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And please follow even here on Spreaker, so that we could just keep getting the word out, keep getting blessed. All right, so have a glorious day. See you again tomorrow.
Close like